Douglas Crook, Wednesday, January 25th, 2012.
This evening we'll begin our study in the book of Proverbs in the 18th chapter of Proverbs and verses 20 and 21. In your booklet, that's on page 30, under the heading of The Power of the Tongue. The Power of the Tongue. Proverbs chapter 18 and verses 20 and 21. A man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it, that is, love the tongue, the thought is those who love to use it, will eat its fruit. This proverb is emphasizing the reality that it matters what we say and how we say it. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about grammar. I'm not talking about always using the right word according to the dictionary, because many times we often misspeak. We often misuse words unintentionally. But the thought of the proverb is the true intent of the heart that is expressed with our words. That matters. What do you intend with your words, with what you say, and how you say it? We know the Bible teaches that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So our words express our intentions, our heart. And if our heart is surrendered to the Lord, then it's going to express the things that are pleasing to the Lord and that are for the good of others. If our heart is not right, then our words will also express that, and they will cause damage and hurt. So we all inevitably and unavoidably have our lives affected in one way or another by our words and the words of others. That's the truth of this proverb. In the exact same way that we are impacted by what we eat, the food that we eat. If you eat poorly, if you eat poison, it will affect negatively your body. You will be sickly and possibly die, because food affects your physical health. These proverbs are saying that words do the same thing for us in affecting our spiritual life, which then affects every other area of our life, including the natural things and our career and everything else. It affects. Your words will have an impact on your entire being. If you speak lies, gossip, strife, hatred, the things that we've been studying here in Proverbs, then you will be spiritually weak. And those that are around you will be in them, also be affected in that negative way by those kinds of expressions of your words. You will be spiritually weak. If you speak the things that are in accordance with the revealed will of God, it will positively affect your spiritual condition. You'll be positively strong and effective, and those that hear you will also have the opportunity to be affected in that positive way. In the 21st verse there that we read, it's a pretty strong statement. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, there are those that will tell you that if you have faith, you have power to speak things into existence. In other words, some of these so-called faith preachers say that the tongue has creative power, just like God, who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The faith teachers tell you that your tongue has that power. This proverb and the Word of God does not teach that. You cannot simply speak things into creation, whether pleasant circumstances or situations or whatever. You don't have that power. You are not God. But what this proverb does say is certainly true, and certainly taught all through the Scripture, that our words have the power either to promote life or to promote death. It doesn't create life and it doesn't create death, but our words can be used to promote one or the other. And this is something that we need to be aware of, that our words matter. Now, again, some people use that phrase to say, well, you know, you always have to use proper grammar, or You always have to use the right word or you're wrong in that sense. Now, the reality is you should strive to speak properly because that's part of communication, just in the natural. And then when you talk about the gospel and the things of the Lord, you should. I thank the Lord for a little old lady who, when I was starting out preaching, if you knew the grammar that my mother and father used growing up, and God bless them, they did the best they could with what they had. But all the wrong grammar is what I was raised on. And that's how I started preaching. And I had a little old lady who was very good at grammar, Sister Hattie Webb, for anyone who might know her. And she's, Brother Freestone knows her well. She straightened me out pretty quickly. And I'm glad for that. And there are times when I hear myself say something, and I say, whoa, 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 Hattie would not approve. You need to correct that. And so I still hear that little voice in my head. And so it's good. You should learn how to speak properly. You should have an understanding of the words that you use. All of that is true. But what we're talking about is the intent of your heart. What do you intend to express with your words? And we should intend to edify and to build up and to encourage and to strengthen those who hear our words. And if we do that, we will promote in them spiritual health. And in doing so, we will also eat of the fruit of our lips, and we will also be built up with that kind of speech. But then, of course, the opposite is true of negative speech. And by negative speech, anything and everything that is contrary to the revealed will of God. That's why it's important to know what is pleasing to God and what's not. What he considers an abomination, what he hates. That way we know what we are to be expressing with our words. The phrase there, it says that those that love the tongue, you need to be careful because you're gonna eat. You're going to eat those words. And the thought behind this, let's read a proverb we had earlier, but to remind us of what that's saying. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. Usually those who love the tongue, who love to use it, who love to talk, usually, sooner or later, they're going to promote the things that lead to spiritual sickness and death in themselves and in others. Proverbs 10 and verse 19. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And so, a couple of things that this proverb that we're looking at currently is telling us is what you say and how you say it matters, and you also need to limit yourself in how much you say, because in order to promote life, it doesn't take an ongoing babbling of words. It simply needs to express the love and the will of God. 2 Corinthians 2, the Apostle Paul tells us that we have an impact on others. Now, in this particular passage, Paul is not emphasizing the tongue necessarily, although he does speak about what he speaks. And so there certainly is a connection here that we and others are affected by our words. So we need to be aware of them and not just say anything and everything that pops into our head. 2 Corinthians 2, 14 to 17. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. So here clearly Paul is saying that what we say, and in this case what we preach and what we teach, can either promote life or death. Now in this particular case, saying the right things can produce either life or death depending on the response to the gospel. But nonetheless, our words, there is fruit. I'm trying, Hattie. There is fruit, not there are fruit. There is fruit from what we say. In verse 16, to the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. So Paul is saying what he says and how he says it matters, and he speaks it with sincerity. He speaks it with a purity of heart and a singleness of heart, and that is to promote life. Now, in some, those good words will promote death because they've rejected the fruit of his words. So it matters. We need to be aware of it. We need to guard our words and make sure that we are promoting the right thing. Now let's go on to the next section of Proverbs. And this is under the heading of honesty. I believe that's the main heading. And then we begin a subheading of truthfulness. And we'll begin this list with Proverbs 12 and verse 20. Proverbs 12 and verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but counselors of peace have joy. The thought is that those who intend to hurt people for selfish gain, it's because they have a heart that's filled with deceit and lies. In other words, if that is their intent, if that's their heart, selfishness, then they're going to do and say whatever it takes to gain what they want. Lying, dishonesty, it's all justified in their heart and their mind. Their heart is filled with deceit. And in contrast to the righteous, such an individual can never truly be joyous and content. Now, they may celebrate when they gain whatever they were after with their lies and their deceit. They may have a time of celebration and happiness, but it is not lasting, because covetousness can never produce contentment. They are opposites, and they are contrary one to the other. In contrast, those who seek peace and seek what's in the best interest of others, and that's in their heart, that's the intent of their heart, that's what they're filled with, they're also going to be filled with joy and contentment. And the reason is because that is the will of God. That's what God desires for us to do. And only in the will of God can we truly be happy. And this is something that I've shared with you a number of times. There are those that have rebuked me for talking about those who were living in open sin and saying how it ought not be. Well, Doug, you shouldn't be so judgmental. Everybody deserves to be happy. The reality is you can never be happy outside the will of God. And so if you love somebody, you're going to encourage them to abandon that which is going to keep them from true joy. And so this is what should fill our heart. We should desire peace with God for ourselves, the peace of God, rather, in our own life. But we should also desire peace for others and seek peace. And if we do that, we will know the joy of the Lord in our own heart. The next proverb in this list is Proverbs 13 and verse 5. A righteous man hates lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and comes to shame. There are those that think that if you are truly righteous and if you're truly a grace saint, you won't hate anything. But quite the opposite is quite the truth. There are things that you are to hate because God hates them. And we should hate lying. And that first applies to our life. And then we should also apply that to our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we cannot encourage and associate with those who choose a path of lying and self-deceit and the deceit of others in order to gain what they want. Now, sometimes that gaining is just a certain lifestyle. They lie to themselves, they lie to others, because they want to do what they want to do no matter what the Word of God says. Well, that's still lying and that's still deceit. And a righteous individual will hate that because it keeps your brother from God's best. The contrast that this proverb is giving us is between the righteous who fear the Lord and the wicked who scoff and mock at the ways of the Lord. The reason that the righteous man hates lying he sees it as something repulsive that, first of all, dishonors God and also brings destruction to God's people. The wicked man who loves to lie, he makes himself loathsome. And you look that word up in the Hebrew, and it's an ugly word. It means makes himself foul smelling. A person who tries to gain things by deceiving others, he makes himself a foul smelling person, first and foremost to God, and then secondly to those around him when that deceit is exposed. 1 John 2 and verses 28 and 29. When we make the contrast between a saved person and an unsaved person, we understand that the loathsome, foul-smelling result of lying results in eternal death, the second death. But again, as Christians, we need to understand that when a Christian practices deceit, when they intentionally deceive someone in order to gain some advantage, we need to understand that there is loss for the believer in that kind of choice. And it is a choice for the Christian. And it is something that is foul-smelling to the Lord. And in 1 John 2, 28 and 29, to me, this is a solemn passage. And I don't think too many Christians give it much thought. But it says, "And now, little children, abide in him. Continue in his will. Continue living right. Continue doing what is right in his sight by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the grace of God that teaches you how to live godly. Abide in him, that when he, Jesus, appears, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him." Don't you find that a solemn statement? Now clearly, John is writing, the Holy Spirit is inspiring him to write to Christians. So we're not talking about people who aren't going to heaven when Jesus comes, but some of God's people are going to need to wash their robes. Some of them are going to have a foul smell about them that is going to be, that cause them shame when Jesus comes. Saints, I don't want that to be my experience when Jesus comes. I don't want that to be any Christian's. God doesn't want that to be any Christian's experience. But that's why the practical teaching of Scripture is so essential. We have to learn what is the will of God. And then we have to fall on our face before God and say, "God, only by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit can I walk in these things. But I want to. I surrender myself to the power of the Holy Spirit that I might be an example of godliness." The Apostle Paul made a pretty bold statement himself, didn't he? He said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." That's a bold statement. And do you know why he can make it? This is the same man who said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," in chapter 7 of Romans. The same man who realized he was completely incapable in his own strength was a man who understood the power of the Holy Spirit to enable him not to live a life of lying and deceit and all of the other things that are a part of the flesh. He learned to walk in the Spirit. Saints, we can too. And if I didn't believe that, I just quit. I mean, I couldn't do it. I couldn't stand up here and tell you could do it or that you should do it. What would be the point? But saints, because I know the faithfulness of God, because I know the life of Christ in me and the life of Christ in you, I can with complete confidence say what the Word of God says. We can live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. We can put off all of the works of the flesh. And we can put on Christ. And I believe that with all of my heart. The next proverb in this passage is found in Proverbs 24 and verse 26. This is an interesting proverb. There's a lot of interesting phrases found in the Proverbs. I would have never thought of this, but it makes sense when I begin to consider it in the light of the rest of the Scripture. Proverbs 24 and verse 26. "He who gives a right answer kisses the lips." Now, in the Orient, and in the Latin American countries, and maybe in some of the European countries, I don't know, kissing was basically what handshake is in our society, or at least what it used to be. And it was a very common, this is how you greeted people, is you kissed them. Aren't you glad we have a little different custom than that? And when we go to South America, we have to kind of say, well, we love you, but please don't kiss me all the time. And but this is something that was real in that society, in that custom. And there's a comparison here. The word right, that's translated, well, the phrase right answer, in the Hebrew, the word is a straightforward or a correct answer. So not just a right or correct only, but straightforward. In other words, to tell it like it is, to tell the truth without diluting it so that it doesn't have its proper effect. And some, it's compared. Well, let me read the Bible Knowledge Commentary on this proverb. I think it puts it rather succinctly, so I'll let them give the explanation. An honest answer is literally upright or straight words. How are honest words and kisses alike? Because that's the comparison that's being made. A straightforward answer is as affectionate as a kiss. As a sincere kiss shows affection and is desirable, so an honest and perhaps straightforward answer shows a person's concern and is therefore welcome and is an expression of love, just like the kiss is, a sincere kiss at least. It is an expression of affection and love. Well, a straightforward answer is also, although it's not always received as such, is it? But I believe as I go through all the Word of God, both Old and New Testament, I believe that the Bible teaches that it is wise and that it is a true expression of love, the love of God, to speak straightforward, frank, and honest with people in every situation. This is something that many societies do not practice. In fact, it's contrary to the customs of many countries. It's contrary to the practice of many individuals in all societies. But I believe that it is a true expression of God for us to be honest and straightforward with people. Now, having said that, there always has to be a balance. Frankness needs to always be tempered with compassion, because you can be frank and cruel, but that's not what we're talking about. To be straightforward, but to have it always tempered with compassion and kindness, so that truth is never diluted to the point that it cannot have its positive effect on people. And when I say truth, I'm not just talking about doctrine. We'll get to that, because that's the most important area. But I believe these apply to every relationship, every situation. It's better to be straightforward with people. Obviously, there are many extremes that we can fall into when we're walking in the flesh. We can be sharp and purposely hurt people with truth. Have you known people like that? They're speaking the truth, they're straightforward, but it's done with the purpose of cutting people, of purposely hurting them and not really caring how it affects them. If that's our intent, if that's our heart, which of course God knows, frankness, honesty, and straightforwardness in that case is carnal, because it's done for the purpose of hurting people. Then there's the other extreme. That's the one extreme of the flesh. The other extreme is there are those who try to avoid confrontation at any cost, and they will simply tell people whatever they want to hear to avoid the confrontation. You know people like that? You know what that is? That's carnality. It's not love. It's not wise. When you simply tell people what they want to hear, and so you don't have to have an uncomfortable moment. And I believe, again, that covers all areas that in all relationships. But when we speak the truth motivated by the love of God, I believe that's a true expression of love. Straightforward, honest, frank words that aren't always received. Again, God knows our heart, and we need to expose our heart and say, Lord, I want to make sure my heart, my motives are right. that I speak with love and I speak with compassion. But because I love you and because I love others, I am going to be straightforward here. And I believe that this should be our practice at home, at school, in the community, and certainly in the church. But most importantly, we have to apply this truth to the doctrine that we proclaim. And this is another area where it's so easy for us to be timid and to try to dilute what we know to be truth because we're afraid somebody might be offended by it and they're not going to accept it. But saints, we need to be straightforward with what we know to be the revealed will of God. If you love that person, it is to speak straightforward what God says is true in His Word. It is an expression of love for that person, whether they accept it that way or not. Again, examine your heart. Don't beat people up with what you know about doctrine and what they don't. Because you may be speaking truth, but if you're not doing it in love, it won't be productive and it's not an expression of love. Isaiah 30. This is what happens when God's people aren't straightforward with truth, with the Word of God. It doesn't lead to good things. It's not being kind to people. Sometimes if you truly want what's best for an individual, sometimes they do have to hurt. Sometimes they need to feel the sting of truth, that they might feel the healing power of truth. Isaiah 30, verses 9 to 15. That this is a rebellious people. He's speaking about the chosen people of Israel. Lying children. You see how this applies to our Proverbs? These are lying children. Children who will not hear the law of the Lord, who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things, not straightforward things, not true things. Speak to us smooth things, prophesied deceits. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trusted oppression and perversity and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach ready to fall, a bulge in a high wall, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. They thought they were building something grand and glorious with their apostasy and their idolatry and their false doctrine, but it was a wall that was about to collapse on them. And he shall break it like the breaking of the potter's vessel, which is broken in pieces he shall not spare, so there shall not be found among its fragments a shard to take fire from the hearth or to take water from the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning, that is, to truth, straightforward truth, and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, but you would not. Saints, I'm afraid that the church today has followed the same path as the apostate nation of Israel described for us in this passage. The church today demands of its leaders that they teach them smooth things. They're building big things. The vast majority, and I do understand that there is truth being taught in some places, and I do thank God, like Paul, all of those that are teaching any morsel of truth to those who will hear it that is truly the Word of God. But many of these mega churches are being built grand and glorious, not on truth, but on deceit and on lies. And it will collapse. And they can be boasting their success, but it will collapse because God has called us to speak the truth in love. Straightforward. And again, even when we're talking about sound doctrine, it always needs to be with the proper heart and the proper motivation. Why do you tell somebody? But this is what the Word of God says. It needs to be because you truly care about that person and you want God's best for them. I had a visitor today, someone who left a number of years ago, came by today and we had this discussion. And basically it was this. I love you, brother. I have no ill feelings toward you whatsoever. But I have strong convictions about what God has revealed in His Word to be what leads to His best. I want God's best for you, brother. But God has revealed a way to His best, and you're not walking in it. I spoke the truth, and I believe I spoke it in love. I believe it was a true expression of love, but it wasn't received as something that was good and affectionate and sound. But saints, this is how real and practical these truths are. Let's go to Ephesians 4 so we get the doctrinal, New Testament doctrine on this. A straightforward answer, a right answer, is a genuine expression. Just as a kiss, a sincere kiss, is a genuine expression of love, so is speaking the truth in love. Ephesians 4:14. And we'll read 15 as well. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. There's the lying again. There's the deceit that we are to avoid. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ. Well, I think we'll close there tonight. May we truly allow the Holy Spirit to examine our heart. Each of us are a little different. Some of us have a tendency to naturally be frank. Those of us that have that tendency, we have to be careful to be tempered with compassion. Some of us have the tendency to be timid. And we have to be careful to not allow our natural timidity to keep us from being straightforward and speaking the truth. So we all need to look to the Lord for that divine balance that comes from being led of the Holy Spirit. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.